meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome on TGIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
But not for me. I thank God. I thank God every day that, every day I'm alive, I thank God. And even if I were to die, I thank God because... Well, I hope that I pass over from here to there. That's my hope. But so I shouldn't be presumptuous.
No, you still have a lot of work to do, Father.
Presumptuous?
Presumptuous.
Presumptuous.
I don't know.
Presumptuous?
I'm not, I don't speak good English. I don't speak good.
Oh, no, your English is elevated, Father. Mine is very basic.
Do you say good English, or I don't speak English well?
I don't speak Spanish well.
I don't speak Italian well.
I don't speak Spanish. Well.
Somebody was singing, it was a Cuban singer, Celia Cruz, and then in her concert she said, oh, my English is not very good looking. And so we joke around, it's not very good looking.
No, I've been talking all day, so I've had, it's been, I had morning, well, the kids... I had the children's mass, right. And so that I was talking to the principal and one of the other teachers after the mass, and I get like my father, and like I want to say, get the chip off your shoulder.
But the older kids?
Well, yeah, because the little ones are different.
They're...
But sit up straight, if I say something, I want to, give me an answer.
I want a response.
I'm talking to you.
I say, okay, it's early in the morning, but I don't want to be this nagging parent, and during the mass especially, they're good kids, but, it's so hard to make, to bring people to understand. It's almost like you feel like you got to entertain, you got to do something to stimulate or to make them. But
But the problem is, Father, and I'm going to say it. It all starts from home.
Well, it's a society. It's a culture. Right? Certainly, home
at
is.
Home, that's it starts the, from home.
So, but they're good kids.
The kids are not the ones to blame.
I just feel like I'm, and it's not that I want to be their friend. I'm not fond of children or young people. I'll never be their friend.
Right. It's not what you want to do.
And that's the problem today, that parents want to be their friends and it doesn't work. You have to be the parent.
Yeah. Anyway, but we just had speaking of parents, so just I'm coming right off a funeral. That's why you guys are going to have to carry me through this show, because I am let me just say, after the children's mass, I was already going into the funeral completely exhausted. The energy was just went out of me. But I have to say this funeral, this wonderful, wonderful man from Puerto Rico, his wife, Carmen, died about 12 years ago. I can't believe it's been 12 years.
Already 12 years.
But I didn't know this, that he and Nick, our deacon, Nick Flores, they're from the same town.
Caguas?
Caguas.
Yeah.
I didn't know that in Puerto Rico. But I'll tell you that, if we could go back to... I mean, because I've known Fernando, who was just, he's 90 years old.
90 years old.
I couldn't believe he was 90 years old.
He turned 90 this year.
But I just had his funeral, and the deacon is going to the cemetery so I can be here. But he and his wife, Carmen, she died 12 years ago. He just died. In fact, I think he died on the anniversary of my father's death, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the in fact,
he died on the feast. I don't know which feast day.
No, it was the 21st.
Friday. So that's a saint. What saint is that?
I can tell you right now.
That's the same day that Father, this other priest friend of ours passed away.
Friday. Saint Matthew.
Saint Matthew, the apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he died on the feast of Matteo.
Matteo, your father's
my
patron.
My father's patron saint.
So did they, so Father, that's another sad thing too, Father Collins from Nigeria, just a great priest. And when I was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, it's hard to believe, wow. But I was gone for 2 months, and Father Collins was one of the main priests who was here.
Yes.
People loved him. He
was heaven, because I don't know what I would have done without him. I had other priests, but he had most of the, even the Spanish masses.
Right.
The people were, I'll never forget the first time he had the Spanish mass, and they thought, oh, he's just probably just going to have it in English because he's from Nigeria. And no, when he started celebrating the mass in Spanish, the people were shocked.
Yeah.
they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, just a good man.
But yeah.
Good man, good priest. Yeah. Only 47
Only
years
47.
Old.
Only 47.
He just died of a heart attack. I guess this was a heart attack. So that was, same day as
Fernando. Fernando.
Wow.
For Father Collins, they're having the service on Monday, the wake service at DePaul, the parish, St. Vincent DePaul parish, from 7 to 9, 7:30 to 9 in the evening. But they're also having a service for him in two other churches on the south side.
Wow. With the body.
The whole week they're having services with his community, also the Nigerian community. There's a big Nigerian community here from the tribe that he belonged to, the Igbo tribe. It's a huge tribe.
Right.
And the community, they're very active here in Chicago.
Wow, okay, good.
So there's two different parishes where they're holding services with the body too.
Beautiful.
Yes, wow. So he was very much loved.
Yeah,
and the youth, a lot of the young people, saw him like a father, like a father.
Yeah, you wonder why, you know, a good priest like that, it was really needed. And he was studying for a doctorate in education.
Yes, wow. He was in his second year.
Yeah. Anyway,
but
God give him rest. You know, so God has. He's got the plan. He's got the plan. He's got the master plan. The master has a master plan.
Yes.
You know, we just have to. We don't know. But Fernando, he was 90 years old. Yeah. But he comes from that old school that was just the humility and the prayer, and raising your children to be, you know, dignified, noble, respectable people. It just, he and his wife were both like that. They when the kids were in school, and it's hard to believe because they've got their families and their children. Mm-hmm. But I remember them when they were students because they were still in school when I was here.
Yeah, I was in school with them.
Were you?
At the same time. My younger brother was in the same class as Carmen.
But you're older than them.
3 years.
Yeah,
one is, I'm older 3 years, Carmen, and then the other, Milagros, I'm 2 years older than her.
Is Carmen? Oh yeah, because Milagros is older.
Older. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, just that the world needs that simple faith.
Yeah.
That you know, when I always repeat the words of Pope Benedict, who said the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of humble believers or simple believers. Those are the simple. That generation. And see, even our deacon and his wife are from, well, Nick is from the same place, Nettie is from another part of Puerto Rico, but they both come from those backgrounds where, like the deacon was saying before the Mass, and our deacon is one of, I think there were 14
siblings, children.
And the mother died young, so the father raised, basically he raised them, and
they're from a humble background, like from what they call jibaros, where the from the farms.
Yeah,
the,
completely, yeah.
What we, in Spanish we say campo, like the country. Mm-hmm. They're from the country.
Or the country, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's...
The faith, the very faith. They have a strong faith. I remember growing up, when you had the 7:30 Mass here in the morning, Fernando and Carmen, his wife, came to the daily mass in the morning,
right,
walking from their home.
Right.
And Fernando already had problems with his knees, yet they still came walking.
Right.
And holding hands.
Yeah. Yeah, just it's
it was
just
beautiful
whole...
to see and sharing, you know, both of them sharing the faith. And I don't know who was it that, I think it was Nick or somebody said that he would pray, he was constantly praying the rosary.
Yeah, five rosaries a day.
Wow.
Praying the rosary.
Because after his wife died.
Yes.
Then he basically became like a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was basically stayed in his
because
in his
of
home.
It, he had the knee.
Yeah, he lived upstairs.
Yeah,
he had a nice little.
Yeah.
I think of the like the hobbits. You know,
yes.
It was a very cozy place. Yeah.
Yes.
And that was his chapel. That was like his hermitage.
Yes.
And he spent the last 12 years, he's basically been in this apostleship of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have we have really good people over here, you know. So
yes.
Yolanda and Miguel. And it just thought about that because Miguel's feast day is tomorrow. So during the Mass, I said, you know how Miguel was his angel because he would take Holy Communion to him every week.
That's right.
Sometimes more than once
mm-hmm.
A week. And like on a Sunday and then during the week.
Sure.
And he did this for all these years.
Yes.
And I said, I had to thank
Miguel
Vargas for, you know, really being an angel to Fernando. And Yolanda's, so the Mass at 8 o'clock, the children's Mass was Yolanda.
Yes.
And she wasn't there. I thought she was because she's always there.
Yeah.
But she is.
She came to the funeral.
Well, she did, but she knew it was the Mass was for her.
Oh, so she didn't come.
She's kind of shy like
that. Yeah, she doesn't like attention.
But she's I was saying how she's an angel.
Yeah.
You know, she just such a good person.
Yeah.
And
they're so generous.
They're very generous.
With their time
and their faith.
Just
the faith
and support to the parish.
Like Tony, you and Angelica, the same thing. You know, I think of these
couples
or mm-hmm. people we have in the parish that are. You know, this is what I call about when we talk about the Anoim, you know,
mm-hmm.
Christina's parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that to put Christina in that category yet.
No, I'm not married. I'm single.
Still, but you do a lot.
There's
of
a reason for that.
I don't mean, I'm talking about the in the category, the Anoim.
Oh, no, I'm special.
You're special.
I'm in a different category.
No, I definitely put you in that category as well because these are people, they just, you know, this is, we live and breathe the faith. I say we, but I mean I'm a priest, so you'd expect that from me. But
yeah, and yet not all priests are faithful either. So
I guess we know
you're
that
you're one
now,
of
don't
the
we?
Faithful ones. We're blessed to have you.
You were, and I can say this about me. You were my example. That's what brought me.
Yeah, let's just
closer to the church.
Let's just build each other. Let's just build each other up today. You know, but no,
but I
you
meant
know,
that.
But it's no, thank you, and it's mm-hmm. and likewise, you know, it's just right. We need each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but really, it's why. Can it be? Why can it not be? You know, yesterday, and I'm not going to get into the political stuff, believe me.
No,
I don't
please,
no. But just, it was a disgraceful day yesterday.
Right.
The whole political proceedings, you know, with this. I'm not going to say one thing one way or the other because I find anytime I say anything about the politics, I get a call.
Right.
And somebody accuses me of this or that or being here, that, you know, and so I'm not going to touch it.
Then I'll say it.
It
was just interesting to watch. I mean, it's part of that also for me. It's part of that. Being aware and knowing what the process is for anything, just that I watched it, that I was interested, was saying something. I've talked to many people that, I don't pay attention to that. And I thought to myself, how sad. It's something you should. It's something everyone really should be paying attention to because it's part of the process. It's
it's important to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, today, see, we live in a society today where you just have to be so careful what you say
and
because there's this hypersensitivity
mm-hmm.
and this violent anger
mm-hmm.
that is out there
mm-hmm.
on the part of too many people, I think. And so, but when you see that, you know, this is what I was trying to tell our children on Sunday and even in today as well. So, yeah, multiple groups. I'm
right.
all over the place. I have, you know, a group of CCD, the catechetals, mm-hmm. the students who are in English catechesis. You got the students in the Spanish catechesis, and you got the kids from the day school who's I had their Mass today. And trying to, you know, I just don't want our young people, at least those that I'm forming,
mm-hmm.
to grow up with this demand for their rights, you know, my rights, and this violent, I say violent because it comes across as violent, or it's just ugly. It's ugly. It's not.
But see, it is interesting you say that, because again, while people are talking, and like I said myself, I'm looking at this, I've often thought to myself too, you have to be careful on who's looking at you, because when you talk about the kids, and you're right, I mean, if you're talking, okay, I want to be responsible for not having a young person all about their rights, you look and you say, look at everything else outside of what we're trying to teach. It's the total opposite. So right. It's like, how do you then combat something that they see?
But when I say not about rights, because everybody has rights.
Exactly,
you know,
But
it's about, I want the emphasis to be on what is my responsibility.
Exactly.
What are my obligations? Mm-hmm. You know, to think that the world is going to revolve around me.
Exactly.
Or to be so blinded that I, you know, because I'm so self-absorbed or absorbed in my own ideology or what, that I don't have an openness to at least civilly enter into dialogue with somebody else, or when, you know, the assassination of a person's character is, through...
And how you can almost... One perception is you can see that, but then there's the other side. And, and I had a discussion just like you're describing now with a woman at work, and it's like it was a total. I had to stop because there was no way of getting anything in edgewise. Yeah. There's no way of like common sense, and everybody has their own opinion and they stick by it, and they can't see that maybe there is something else.
Right, exactly, and that's where even as we talk, you kind of skirt around the issue because my concern right now is, you know, for us here is the faith, but at the same time I have a and because of that, because we're concerned about the faith, because it does in fact have an impact on how we live in a civil society, you know, but when I see the lack of civility, or the some people say we're in a civil war, and I'm beginning to think maybe we are, you know, but it's going back to our young people and our children, I don't want to feed that kind of violence I just want them to be responsible, to fulfill their God-given obligation to respect and defend life, to respect and defend the sanctity of marriage and family, to respect and defend the faith of the church, to understand and to fulfill and to love the laws of God, to enter into right worship, you know, that it's not that they're going to go through life expecting that they're going to be entertained, or that they're going to be, you know, it's got to be all about my feelings, but that they can rise above their feelings. To know that, you know, they've got to think beyond themselves, and life has to be lived with what we call sacrificial love. What am I saying? We got to take a break now, but it's the world is wicked.
Yeah.
Like I said the other day, you know, it's and I'm you watch all this that was going on yesterday in the political sphere. The church is merciful. Society is not. Not. So, with that, we'll take a break, because I'm really tired today. So if I'm not back, at least Tony and Christina will be here, and you guys can talk with her, you know.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk among yourselves. Don't go away. We'll be right back on this tired Friday, but a very busy Friday. Certainly a busy day for me.
Yes.
This is the beginning of three very, very busy days. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. Your name is 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to a special observance of the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's Humanae Vitae.
Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. in the St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois. Humanae Vitae 50 Years is open to all and proudly sponsored by Two Hearts Catholic Gifts and Books. Here, Father Loya, help us discover the truth and beauty in this prophetic writing of Pope Paul VI. Join Father Loya for Humanae Vitae 50 Years at St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois, Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m.
Okay, welcome back. I'm still here.
Welcome back, Father.
I'm not going away, not yet. Yes, we just buried Fernando, and that's and we need people of that caliber, that kind of faith, that simple faith, that humble faith. That, as I was going to say, and I don't know that I quite, it was in my mind to say it, but Nick was saying that in that part of Puerto Rico, he's his own father, would just, they had this. So if we talk about hypersensitivity to the things today, you know, personal rights and the rights of the group, and, you know, justice, social justice is very important, you know, don't get me wrong, but all this activism and, but they, this generation or these people from this part of Puerto Rico and from other places, I've seen it in, from people in Poland and Mexico and perhaps at one time that was it was just kind of the norm, but they had a if people are hypersensitive to a lot of things today that that create a kind of a certain divisive divisiveness or a certain angst, or you feel like you just can't speak because you know you can't have a civil discourse, any kind of a dialogue. In those days, you know, this guy that this man that died and was buried today. And our deacon, they come from a background where they were they had a hyper they were hypersensitive to you know doing anything that would violate the holy name of God. You know, so it's how you treat people, how you speak to people, the kind of respect you show people,
moral values, family, all of that.
Like for instance, even going back to this. Well, we're not going to dwell on it, but the stuff that was going on yesterday and between the doctor, well, I forgot her name,
and Dr. Ford,
yeah. and the Judge Kavanaugh, like somebody said, you know, is truth. Where is the truth, and you bring God into this. You don't, in other words, there's this sensitivity to truth and, and God, and that you wouldn't. What do they say? The scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's utmost respect for God, and that I would live my life in such a way. That I wouldn't, that I know first and foremost that God is watching and that God is deserving of my respect, that I wouldn't do anything to take in vain God's name. You know, it's basically just this hyper, but a great sensitivity to the commandments of God, mm-hmm. that I fulfill these commandments, you know, so that if somebody takes something, you can tell I'm just kind of here but not here. But if you take something, you see something here in the office, okay, you're mm-hmm. here in the studio, and you just say, oh, I think I'm going to, I'll take that. There's no problem.
It's there.
It's mine.
It's there. It's mine. Right? Yeah.
You know, I found it.
Nobody doesn't belong to anybody. No, but these people, they wouldn't dare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because this was...
You knew the consequence.
Yeah, and God is watching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't... So the deacon, Nick, was saying that his father would never permit anybody... He says you'd never, ever, ever say anything bad about God, you know,
mm-hmm.
neither in word nor in action. And people live with that, that kind of sensitivity, you know. I don't know that that's the reality today.
No.
Do you think? I don't think so.
I don't think so. There's no, there's no fear of God today. That's the thing.
Which is why I think we're...
In the mess we're in.
Well, for sure. Yes. And God being the merciful, loving, just God that he is, he's going to, for our own sake, manifest himself, intervene. So we don't want to talk about God being vengeful or punishing or chastising. But more and more, I believe, absolutely. It's like, how much longer are you going to let things mm-hmm. go? You know, as I heard somebody was saying, this is with regards to the church and what's going on in the church. It's like Jesus is sleeping in the bow.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The bottom of the boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that the bow of the boat or the hull?
I think it's the bottom.
The bow. Do they call it the bow?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know the terminology.
Let's see, we're only 28 days in. 28
like I said, Father, my English
show.
Is very basic. It's not.
Yeah. So, God, get me through these next 30 minutes. I'm just really running out of energy. But anyway, the point is that Jesus, the apostles were there in the boat, and they're in this storm. You know, the boat's just being battered about, and Jesus is in the bow of the boat,
mm-hmm.
in the bottom of the boat, underneath. Find out what that is.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm
looking that up.
And they just so they're in this storm, and they start yelling, and
they start panicking.
And they said, "Wake up! Don't you know we're going to drown here?" And he woke up, and he just brought calm to the sea. Just brought calm to the sea. I forget, what did he say?
What did they ask? Children of little faith or something? I don't know.
Oh, the front part is the bow. The hull is the...
The back part?
The part of the... No.
I don't know.
The part of the ship that floats on the water is the hull.
Okay.
The bow is the front, and the back part is the stern.
Okay.
So he was in the bow of the boat.
The front of the boat.
The front of the boat.
In the hull, which is the center.
But the front is in the above or below, in the bottom?
It could be above.
Oh, then
he was in the bottom.
The hull, then, the below?
The hull is the middle part. I guess people can
But he was away. Somewhere there in the boat, anyway. In the bottom.
He was in the front of the boat talking.
But didn't they say, where in one of the comments, who is he that even the storm obeys him or something?
Right.
It was God. But I was even thinking, the disciples, the apostles... Knowing who he was, sometimes I think they really didn't know who he was.
They did not. No, we know that.
Until when the transfiguration, right? Up to
that
point.
Well, even then,
I guess they, like he said, they don't get it. They didn't get it.
They didn't get it, yeah.
So many times we don't get it either.
So we can say, yes, Peter had that profession of faith
in
Christ, but that was by the grace of the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but... So it's just like the rest of us, mm-hmm. we're, do we know God? Yes. Do we not? Or no? Yes and no. he remains this mystery. Mm-hmm. But the whole, see, we're always in the exile, so we're always, as I was telling the kids that today, mm-hmm. you know, we're in this, and I've said it on the radio, but we're on the way, we're in the journey, we're on a quest, we're looking for God. Ah, because I know, two things. People forget. I don't even care. Whatever happens, whatever I say, I say. You know, we're all over. I'm all over the place. My mind is shutting down. But the gospel yesterday was very beautiful. It was Herod, you know, and he had already beheaded John the Baptist, and you know he was enamored with John.
Mm-hmm.
John was a prisoner because John challenged him because he was with his brother's wife, right? And so he was imprisoned, and Herod liked John. Mm-hmm. He was intrigued by John. Mm-hmm. There was a curiosity there. And so when he was ordered by his lover,
mm-hmm.
was he married? I forget if he was married to Herodias at that point, but. Anyway, she said, off with his head, you know, I want the head mm-hmm. of John the Baptist, or the daughter mm-hmm. said that. I think it was the daughter.
It was the daughter. Mind. Oh, yeah, the daughter was...
dancing.
He's
an instigator.
He promised her.
Yeah, he was a bit, probably, inebriated.
Probably.
And I said, you know, whatever you ask, I'll give you. And so she went to her mother, and the mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And so he couldn't... lose face in the presence of all the people there. So he had to, he was reluctant. He didn't want to do it. But anyway, but then, you know, after all this has happened, you know, the word is out about Jesus. And the gospel said Herod was perplexed. He was perplexed, curious, and he wanted to see him. He wanted to see him. And isn't that what our life is, or we would hope, yeah. is that we want to see him, we want to know him. And there's many instances in the gospel mm-hmm. where you've got people who are seeking him out,
yeah.
you know, or even the apostles who go to the others. That was it Simon or Andrew who said, you know, to Peter, come and see, you know, could this not be the Messiah, you know?
Or even like thinking of, you mentioned when he was in the boat, and they were panicking, we're going to die. And it's like, well, you're with God. What can possibly happen to you mm-hmm. if you're with God? And that, I can relate to that because
happen to you? You're going to be martyred, you know?
And so many times in our life, when we're under stress or something's happening and you start panicking, I mean, we're human.
Sure.
And I start panicking and I forget, and I tell him, forgive me for not trusting you enough. I know right. I should trust you.
But that's just it. You know,
it's like, oh my gosh, like drowning here.
So we go to Mass every day, you know, because we need to be reminded. We need to not lose faith. Mm-hmm. We have to keep faith. We have to surrender, offer our lives. Mm-hmm. We utter our fiat, you know, so we stay with him so that we can get through the day, you know, in faith. Because it is every day is a challenge, you know. When bad things happen or when things don't go the way we want, mm-hmm. you know, we can certainly lash out at God and you know, but that generation, you know, they wouldn't do that.
No.
They wouldn't dare
do that. They just took things as they came and they had the faith, that strong faith, and they put their trust in and God. Even seeing Carmen when she went through her illness, that she was battling the cancer, and she never lost her faith, and she just kept her faith, and it probably even made her faith even more stronger.
Because you know that this, there was no illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Life was hard. They come from hard backgrounds. They come from, you know, as you said, there was poor areas. They were
sure.
farmers. They had to depend on God. They had mm-hmm. to, you know. And so you learn, you know, that it's not easy. It's not meant to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And so you resign yourself to the fact that, okay, God, he didn't spare himself. He showed mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. this. But we know that, and the other thing is you don't live just for this world, but you live for what's yet to come. Mm-hmm. and you fulfill your obligations, your responsibilities in life. You don't go through life expecting everybody to cater to you or to, you know, you. It's kind of like, you know, I guess, and these were all, they were from big families too.
Sure, yes.
And I always remember what my father said when we were growing up, or when I would get out of line, he'd say, you know, it's, and I say it all the time on the radio, but he says, you know, it's not about you, you know.
Yes.
You got to do your part. Yeah. You don't have time. You know, parents didn't have time to dote over one or the other. Right. They had, you know, they had to take care of everybody.
Yeah, and be responsible. Even with Fernando, as far as the faith, he was also battling. He had his illness, and he at one point he couldn't eat anymore. He wasn't eating anymore food. But what sustained him was the Eucharist.
Right. Exactly. Well, he went down to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. He was.
Because I just saw him a month ago, and he looked pretty good, and he was pretty strong, too. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to the funeral home, I just, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he was.
And
he was,
the one daughter, when she went back, she had gone back to Canada. She had been here, and she's got her family, so she came back. He waited for her, too, you know, because she came, and he died several hours after she got back. Wow. When she came. But she was completely shocked when she saw him. And said, you know, God, please take him. Yeah, he was, you know, it's like you see him on the cross, and you wonder why, but it's, you know, it's.
He wasn't eating. It makes me think of Herminia.
But he was at peace.
But he was ready. Yeah. He was ready. Probably he was waiting for her. But what kept him was the Eucharist and his grandchildren. I don't know if you saw those videos
they had.
Yeah,
sure.
And the little grandchildren, that's what brought him joy, or even, you know, his daughters, his family.
Right. All right, everybody. Let's see, we got 20 minutes?
20 minutes into the...
Okay, a little bit more. So we're going to take a break, and we will be right back. If I'm not here, you know, Tony and Christina will take over, but... or if I fall asleep, wake me up.
Okay. Wake you up.
All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
On Saturday night, October 6th, from 7 until 9, at St. Stanislaus Kostka, Father Angel Espinoza will give a special talk on the urgent need to train your children in the seven fields of true education. The talk will be in Spanish. Here's Christina to tell you more.
El sábado 6 de octubre de 2018, en las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, la parroquia de San Estanislao Kostka y el Padre Ángel Espinoza los invitan a una conferencia sobre cómo les estamos enseñando a nuestros hijos la fe. ¿Estamos enseñando la fe popular y nada más por encima? ¿O realmente estamos enseñándoles a vivir la fe de una manera profunda, a practicarla diariamente en su vida? Regístrate y compra tu boleto de $30 en la página del web www.ststanschurch.org. El cupo es limitado. Solo se venderán 5 boletos por persona. Para más información, favor de llamar a la parroquia al 773-278-2470. De nuevo, 773-278-2470. De nuevo el sábado 6 de octubre del 2018, de las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, en la iglesia de San Estanislao Kostka, ubicada al 1327 Norte de la Noble en Chicago. Los esperamos.
For complete information and ticket purchase information, go to ststandschurch.org and click on the events tab.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Please join in praying a rosary for our nation by joining in Rosary Coast to Coast, Saturday, October 7th at 3 p.m. at the Access Health Center, 1700 75th Street in Downers Grove, Illinois. For more information, see rosarycoasttocoast.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. I am so, I don't think I've been so tired on the radio before, for a long time, but welcome back. We got 20 minutes.
Welcome back, Father.
19 minutes and counting.
19.
So, you know, tomorrow is the feast of the archangels.
Yes.
Who are they?
Michael.
Michael.
Gabriel.
Gabriel. Raphael. What does it mean, Michael?
St. Michael. I know the prayer. I'm just the like archangel. The little children.
Who is like God?
Who is like
He's
God?
He's a warrior angel. Raphael means the medicine of God. Gabriel, the strength of God.
Have you noticed that all their names end with E-L?
El? Mikael, Rafael, Gabriel.
El. Mine is Isabel.
Isabel?
My guardian angel.
Oh, you named her? Or you,
no,
you?
No. She appeared to me in a dream.
I told you.
Okay, sure.
She told me herself. I didn't name her. We're not supposed to name our angels. They have their own names.
Right. They don't like that.
Whatever.
No, the way you...
What does she look
That's
like?
Not my name.
How do you know it's a she? I didn't think angels were here.
They don't have they're immortal. They don't have what is it, gender?
Whatever.
But they fit right in today,
don't they?
Yeah, they're not. No, but only so that only because we're limited.
Right.
There are human limitations that so they have to appear to us so that we can see.
So your guardian angel is Isabella?
Isabel. She appeared to me in a dream.
Wow.
So she. You know how people, she is a warrior. The angels are warriors. How are they going to protect us? They're not those little, you know, those little cute little angels.
The angels, Christmas tree, no.
Yeah, the little cherubs and no, they're warriors. They're the ones that defend us from evil. So,
all right.
She is real tall, strong.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wings?
Yes, in the dream she had wings and she had blonde long hair.
Really?
And she told me in the dream, because I was in trouble, and she saved me. She took me away from... She saved my life. Well, that's what they're there for. And she told me... I asked her, what is your name? And she said, Isabel. I even heard her voice. And then I asked her... You know, I have a big mouth. So she told me to be quiet.
Really?
Yeah. She went like this to me.
She's not the only one.
That's what I'm saying. I have a big mouth, so she told me to be quiet.
So, Tony, do you have a... Do you know who your guardian angel is?
You know what? I've never... But I think in the years, they've disappeared and more have come to help me. Like, they surround me.
You only get one.
You only get one.
I think I have a few of them.
Well, you're talking about angels on earth?
Well, angels on earth, yes. But I think my, you know...
But have you seen your guardian angel?
No. But I know there's
a bunch. Not that it's, your guardian angel doesn't exist. It's right. They're right there with you.
I think there's got to be more than one for me. I don't know. I think I'm special that way.
Okay.
Well, how about you, Father?
My guardian angel?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a bunch of them.
No.
Oh, no. There's only
Let's
one.
See. Can I tell you his name?
Yes.
Damien?
His name is Damien?
Damien.
No, I'm just joking.
I don't know.
I know Damien. You like that name.
I like the name Damien for some
scary.
Reason.
Scary. That name scares me.
Yeah, it is
only
scary.
Only because of the movie.
They took that name and they made it scary.
No, I guess I don't think so much about the angels. I mean, I do when we, you know, during the Mass. I love, especially in the preface when we...
Well, they're there.
We speak of the angels, the angels and archangels. I have to be quite honest. Maybe I take for granted the fact that the... I mean, I believe in angels,
right.
Absolutely.
And but
I
don't know that they're there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen an angel, you know?
I remember times, I have distinct times in my life when I knew something was around me. And I think I could say that even with evil sometimes. I've been in areas or places where I knew there was evil.
I agree.
I distinctly remember a time when... you know, there was somebody there that told me to go. And whether that is, you know, I'm not going to sit here and second guess it, but it was somebody that was looking out for me.
Yeah.
So I really firmly believe that there's people around you, whether on earth or...
Yeah, so I agree with you, and I would say that with regards to myself as well. So I just don't, I don't think, I always think well, God is protecting me, but that's how he protects, you know, through the angels.
Well, even St. Michael, you know how that prayer, St. Michael prayer, I pray it
constantly.
Yeah.
And twice there was one instant where I was on the highway, and the brakes just locked on me in the middle of the highway. And I said, all I could think of is St. Michael. St. Michael.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said St. Michael, and I prayed the prayer, the brakes, because they just locked. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't, and it's like the tires were, you know.
Sure.
So right away, yeah, it's scary. I thought I was going to die. I said, I'm done. So the brakes just, they unlocked right away. And then in another occasion, that I came out of work, it was late, and I was walking home, and there was nobody around, and I saw somebody, a guy, and you know when you have bad vibes or feelings, and he was coming towards me, and there was nobody around, and I felt, oh, this guy has bad intentions, I just feel it, and he was coming towards me, and all of a sudden, and then I started praying the St. Michael prayer, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all these cars came full of people, and they just came out.
Wow.
It was like a lot of people surrounded the whole area, the street, and he went the other way. He went back. So it's like
figure this out. I mean, this I can top that. No, you know, I was on the highway on the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know what black ice is?
Right. Mm.
You know, you can't see it.
That's terrible.
And I was on the expressway, and I obviously hit the black ice. My car did a 360-degree turn. And, I mean, literally, this is 360 degrees, and I was back on my lane moving in the right direction. And all the cars around me, absolutely, yeah, yeah. For sure. So I didn't think the guardian angel, but I believe, you know, absolutely. Yeah. I believe in the angels. Absolutely. I just.
But didn't Bishop Fulton Sheen always talked about his angel, that his angel was assisting him on the program. He always said that.
Well, maybe that's my problem. Maybe I should acknowledge the angel, angel.
I always ask my poor angel the hell that I Isabella. Put her through. But.
Isabella.
I tell her, help me, remind me to do this, because there was a priest, what is it called? Their mission or the ministry is the angels. They talk about the angels.
Opus, I forgot the.
I think it was Opus.
Opus something, thing? I don't remember. Yeah,
but he talked about how we have the angels there to assist us, and whenever we need help. They're there to help you, give your angel tasks. So help me to do this. So after that, I said, oh, help me, remind me, because I'm very forgetful. So please remind me. And she's constantly reminding me,
Good.
Yeah.
But do you,
listen? Yeah, and I do.
You're not obedient.
If I don't listen, it's my fault.
Yeah.
That's why I say I put her through hell.
I don't think you listen that well.
No, I don't think so either.
We got to take a break. And then we got 10 minutes. This has been a weird...
Stop counting down.
All right, don't go away. We'll be right back. We and our angels as well. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. Your name is 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.com. winds of change.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for being with us. Yes, thanks for, yes, exactly.
For being with us.
For being with us.
For staying with us, being with us.
For staying with us, yeah. Staying with us in spite of us, like God. You know, God stays with us in spite of us.
In spite of us.
You know, but we can't be presumptuous because at the end of all things, you know, we make the choice, right?
And that's why it's important for us to stay with Him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Yes.
So, you know, to kind of shift gears a little bit away from the angels' song, they're still here.
They're here.
They're never going to be
right
away.
Here.
But I was going to tell you this the other day, that one of the things, because October's coming up, so we've got October 1st is a Monday, hard to believe, and this is the month of the rosary, and I think we really should try to commit to praying the rosary daily for conversion, for peace, for the church, for the world. I mean, just, you know, everything, you know, but to try to, if you're not doing it already, to cultivate that discipline. This is if Fernando prayed 5 times a day.
Yes.
The rosary.
Rosary.
But to pray the rosary and with, you know, Our Lady's intention, which is for conversion, for peace, I suggest you do that. Mm-hmm. The other day I was thinking, and this is what I wanted to share with you, is this idea that we pray unceasingly, pray constantly. The rosary could be a way to help us. I mean, even before you pray the rosary, I just find that using the beads sometimes as to get into the prayer. As if you set aside an hour of prayer. Again, pray unceasingly. You just pray all the time, but be conscious of God. You know, it's just the name of Jesus. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, be with me. Jesus, help me. You know, or in Christina's case, it's Isabel. Isabel.
Mm-hmm. Isabel.
Isabel. But I was, you know, the other day I did this for the first time, and it was really effective. You know, I took the rosary, and I started with the angel's prayer to the children in Fatima. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, the angel taught them, prepared them for the apparition, and we'll talk about that, you know, as we get into October. But that they should begin the prayer, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." And I've added, and it's just automatic for me, and I thank you. So, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I thank you, and ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love you, and do not thank you." So, 3 times, you know, you say that. So I begin the prayer. I always try to begin my prayer with that. But then it took the, you know, each decade, and I just took the like the one prayer, the pilgrim's prayer, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Pray that 10 times. Just repeat that, you know. And then for the, and then of course the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And then the next decade, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. And 10 times.
Oh,
that's good.
From the scripture, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. And then speak, Lord, the next decade, speak, Lord, your servant listens. So it puts us in that listening, you know. We repeat that 10 times. Mm-hmm. Then the Our Father. And then, Jesus, I trust in you. 10 times. Jesus, I trust in you. And then finally, the last decade, I said, you know, I used it for into your hands I commend my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. So it's just this giving of oneself over to the Lord. But I found it very effective in helping me to focus, you know. So I wanted to share that with you the other day because I thought it was kind of
beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, it is.
It is.
Because it does make you meditate, reflect, and put
right.
Yeah.
So it's like you keep repeating. You know, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Mm-hmm. Speak, Lord, your servant. I'm listening. You know, speak. I'm listening. Or here I am. I come to do your will. I always think of the when Yahweh says, "Who will go for us? Who do we send?" I love that. I forgot which prophet it was. It's like God is toying with the prophet and kind of inspired and enlightened the prophet. Which one was it? Was it Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, one of those? And then God kind of looked away and said, "Well, who am I going to send? You know, who's going to go for us?" And he said, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Here I am." You know, but that
even though where speak, Lord, your servant listens. Sometimes you'll ask God something, and boy, He will answer you right away. That's like, that was fast.
Wow, you are really flying high today.
No, most of the time I'm not flying that high.
It's interesting you were talking about the my God, I believe, I adore. Yeah. I one time in adoration, I come in and I used to feel that I had to say a rosary or two,
right.
Or Divine Mercy. But lately, what I've been doing is I've been being quiet and staying there. And then it's like, that came to my mind. My God, I believe. And I said it for the whole hour.
Yeah, that's and beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just a different experience for me. And it came, what I think, just out of nowhere. And
sure.
It wasn't.
That's beautiful. And so that's kind of, it helps you to maintain, you know, to keep the focus. Absolutely. I think that's absolutely beautiful.
Here we are. See, Father?
Thank God it's
you
Friday.
Made it,
thank
Father.
God we made it through the hour. And Nick, however you're going to identify this hour, I have no idea. But listen, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Ciao.
become so obscure? It does not take that long, can you see?